as Project Runway begins its new season, we feature our interview with Tim Gunn. Although he's now a confident mentor, he had a difficult adolescence. He stuttered, he was in denial about being gay, and he was bullied. When he was 17, he tried to kill himself. We'll talk about his life, and of course, about fashion. Join us.
Everybody loves their pets, and most likely they've got pictures of them. During the month of August, KTOO celebrates pets of all shapes and sizes with a show of photographs. If you've got a photo of your pet, bring it down to KTOO to share with others. It doesn't have to be cute. It doesn't have to be funny. It just needs to showcase your pet. The photos need to be matted or framed, ready to hang, and should be delivered to the station no later than Thursday, July 31st, for a reception featuring the storytelling of Pete Griffin on Friday, August 1st. For more information, please call Jeff Brown at 463-6425 or email jeff@ktoo.org. Welcome to Juno Afternoon. Today is Thursday, July 24th. My name is Shona Strausser. I'm your host today. We have a great show lined up for you. We'll talk with Elephant Revival. They're a band from Colorado. They'll be at the upcoming Southeast Alaska State Fair this coming weekend. We'll also talk with Lena Simmons and Byron McGilvery about Broadway Splash Summer Mid-Summer Vocal Workshop, and that's coming up here soon. We'll talk with members of Mod Carousel about their show here in town. Margaret O'Neill will be here from the Juneau Economic Development Council. She'll highlight next week's workshop for seniors. And of course, as with every Thursday, we'll have Arts Up. Thank you for tuning in to KTOO Juneau Afternoon. Here is National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. On Wednesday, the U.S. Senate Committee on Indian Affairs heard from supporters and opponents of a planned tribal casino in Glendale, Arizona. The Tohono O'odham Nation plans to build an off-reservation casino there, which has received court, federal, and city approval. Diane Enos of the Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian Community says it would be located 150 miles away from the Tohono O'odham's government center and would be located near her tribal land. Enos says the plan violates a gaming compact made more than a decade ago between Arizona tribes and the state. She says the only solution is for Congress to pass legislation prohibiting certain gaming.
Our attempts to persuade the tribe have failed, and the courts are powerless to remedy Tohono's fraud and misrepresentation because they chose to raise sovereign immunity. The Keep the Promise Act simply conforms tribal behavior to tribal promises.
Tohono O'odham Nation Chairman Ned Norris says most of their reservation is in remote areas and is one of the poorest. In the 1960s, a dam flooded their land. Norris says an act of Congress compensated them, which included the replacement of land without any conditions on future use. Norris says this is the third time he's testified before Congress on the project.
The nation respectfully requests that you put an end to this self-serving, mean-spirited, multi-million dollar lobbying campaign against our people and stop this piece of 19th century throwback legislation. We ask that you see this legislation for what it is, the first time in the modern era in which Congress would unilaterally renege on the solemn promises made by the United States in an Indian land and water rights settlement.
The tribe says the casino would create jobs and boost the economy. Indian Affairs Committee Chairman Senator John Tester says it's a very complex issue. The committee didn't make a decision during the hearing. Members of Congress in both houses have come out for and against the tribe's plan. The Tohono O'odham Casino issue was one of the panels as the committee examined the next 25 years of Indian gaming. A representative from the Coeur d'Alene tribe in Idaho is speaking about the tribe's decision to cancel a scheduled concert at its casino by rocker Ted Nugent. Reporter Steve Jackson has more.
Coeur d'Alene tribal officials say they decided to drop the event after what they called Nugent's history of, quote, racist and hate-filled remarks was brought to their attention. Heather Keene is the tribal public relations director, who did not specify which remarks the tribe found offensive.
I can't say, you know, it wasn't just one thing. It was really just kind of a history of perpetuating what, you know, what seems to be very hateful messages. And those kinds of attitudes really clearly contradict with, you know, the tribe's long history of human rights work in the region.
Nugent has come under fire for comments that he made on an interview with Guns.com at the 2014 Shooting, Hunting, and Outdoor Trade Show, where he was representing the Outdoor Channel.
Communist-nurtured subhuman mongrel, like the Acorn community organizer gangster Barack Hussein Obama.
Later, Nugent said referring to President Obama as a subhuman mongrel was not racist. Keene says ticket holders will receive refunds to the canceled show, which was scheduled for August 4th. For National Native News, I'm Steve Jackson reporting from Spokane.
National Native News reached out to Nugent for a response and did not receive one by airtime. Flags are at half-staff on the Navajo Nation in honor of Edward Anderson, Jr. The Navajo code talker passed away this week in Phoenix, Arizona. He was 89 years old. Anderson was born and raised on the Navajo Nation. He enlisted in the Marine Corps at the age of 18 and served during World War II before being honorably discharged. He was a recipient of many honors, including the Congressional Silver Medal. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. The Convention and Tourism Department of the Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce provides convention and event planning services for Native American organizations. Information at ahcnm.org.
Not voting is not rebelling, it's surrendering. Your voice counts when you vote. First, you have to register. Find out more at nativevote.org. Brought to you by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And you're tuned in to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strausser, and thanks so much for tuning in. It's Thursday, July 4th. It is 3:05. And in the studio with me, I have Lena Simmons and Byron McGilvray. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
So, it's great. You have great stuff coming up. You're talking, it's the midsummer workshop, and Byron, you come here quite a bit. So, I was wondering.
At least twice a year.
Yeah.
There have been times I've been here more when we had something special, like a group would say perform at the folk festival or something like that. But at least twice a year, and for more extended periods of time, it seems. So I don't know. I haven't counted up the numbers of visits up here, but quite a few.
Yeah, so this is the summer kind of shebang, I guess, and this is focusing on Broadway tunes. So,
right.
Lena, I was wondering, could you tell us why Broadway?
Well, one, because it's fun to sing, you know. But at the last couple of workshops, the opera always asks the singers, what do you want to do? And we get just a variety of things that people ask to do. But over and over the last couple of times, there's been a reoccurrence. Let's repeat the Broadway show. Let's repeat the Broadway show. So we're going to do Broadway again. And there's going to be everything from what I've been affectionately calling moldy oldies to some things that people are going to go, that's Broadway. You know, so.
That's great. So what do you, Byron, what do you like to play Broadway? What are some of your favorite tunes?
Well, of course, at my age, I grew up with things like the GNS, and then from Gilbert and Sullivan, I went on to Der Lerner and Lowe and Rodgers and Hammerstein. But looking at this new material, there's some really good stuff out there. I went through a period that I didn't have a whole lot of connection with or to do with musical theater, because I was doing much more opera things. And I was traveling a lot, doing guest work with choral things and choral orchestra things. So it's been interesting to me and very enlightening and fun to become connected with and acquainted with some of the newer stuff that's coming along. A lot of times, Lena will mention a musical, and I don't know that musical. I know the name, but I don't know the music from it. We're doing, like example, we're doing a piece from Big River called Muddy Water. based on the Mark Twain, and it's really a great driving piece with a lot of different musical stylistic inputs, gospel, rock and roll, kind of all in one piece. So it's been interesting and been enlightening for me to be able to make that connection.
Well, there's so much today in Broadway that's so different than what, I mean, I think a lot of people sometimes think when they think Broadway, at least I find this, that they think Rodgers and Hammerstein and My Fair Lady and South Pacific and all that sort of thing. And Broadway's not that way today at all. It's far more diverse and far more rock-oriented in some ways and far more folk-related in some ways. It's like we're going to be doing a piece, a medley of things from Once, which won the Tony in 2012, which is all sort of Irish folk music. And a piece from Disney's movie Brave, which is very Celtic because it's set in Scotland. And then we're going to be doing, you know, something like a piece from Rocky Horror, you know. And so it's all just, but then again, we're going to do, you know, Nice Work If You Can Get It and All Good Gifts. And so there's going to be a real variety of stuff.
Something I found interesting is that subject matter, as far as the content of the subject matter, has changed. Today, it's a lot more conflict and there's a lot more angst and it's a lot more personal. The subject matter is a lot more personal. And so we do have a very, very broad spectrum, everything from Les Mis to 76 trombones. And so there's something for everyone.
Well, Broadway has made such a huge, I mean, like you've said, it's just made a huge turn. You know, back when Rodgers and Hammerstein came out, it was, you know, it was because the fluffy, nice pieces were because we were in wartime. Mm-hmm. And now war has changed and we have changed.
And you get really, I mean, truly, Broadway is either, today seems like it's either jukebox, you know, things like Footloose and Mamma Mia and Memphis was a jukebox musical, you know, and, or Spring Awakening or Next to Normal, which is really full of angst. And so you need to honor your past and you need to sing the past, but you need to look what's going on today too, because it's really, it's fun. I mean, we're going to sing a piece from Rock of Ages. You know, who can resist singing something that Journey did? You know?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Not
Nobody.
Broadway, for
Not
sure. Broadway
yeah.
had to do it. Yeah.
Broadway had to do it, you know?
That's great. So, Byron, it's interesting because I wonder, what are the, so you used to do, or you're used to doing opera and doing vocal training in that regard. What kinds of things cross over to musical theater, and what kinds of things are you like, well, you can't do that in musical theater. You can't do that in opera singing.
Well, I you know, I've been asked frequently, what is the difference between opera and musical theater? Well, first of all, is the how challenging the material is. You know, opera. The singers they're like a 7-foot basketball player. These are giant voices, and the demands are incredible. These arias. So the compass ordinarily is different. Used to be just the size of the production, but now a lot of the musical theater productions are just as big as opera. So if we go back to as far as Porgy and Bess, musicologists at that time couldn't figure out if Porgy and Bess was a musical that didn't quite fit that because it was pretty demanding, or was it an opera? Well, they didn't, I don't know if it's snobbishness or whatever, but they didn't think, okay, it didn't fit that. So we had this middle ground, and we have a lot of middle ground now. If you take a look at Les Mis, and you take a look at Phantom, and you take a look at even as far back as Jesus Christ Superstar, that middle ground is pretty demanding. And so the blurring is getting more prevalent.
It's not black and white.
It's not as black and white as it was, as it used to be.
But I think, too, though, that vocally, as we talk about this opera, having done both musical theater and operetta and opera, what you learn to do to sing in one carries over to all three. There's really no, I mean, you got to have breath control to do, you know, musical theater, and you've got to have breath control to do, you know, opera, and you've got to be in good shape, and you've got to have your health, and you've, and everything you learn to do in one carries over to the other.
You can be an opera singer and do musical theater. Usually, if you're a musical theater singer, you can't make that other leap because it's just so demanding. But people like Beverly Sills, Beverly Sills did a lot of musical theater back in her early days. So it's just getting closer together, I think. And I believe, pardon me, I think that the quality of the writing now, is especially the orchestration, is really, really, really quite good.
Well, yeah, you have someone like Sondheim, and his orchestration is ridiculous. It's some of the hardest you could ever learn as a singer.
He's hard to sing. He's as hard to sing as any opera. I mean, truly.
Well, if you take West Side Story, what is, you know, it doesn't really fit the musical theater genre, but it sort of is, and it doesn't fit the opera genre. So, I think here's the thing that I feel. I feel that a lot of opera goers, people who are love the opera, are giving themselves short shrift because they won't go see musical theater. And I believe that the people who are music theater goers are giving themselves short shrift because rarely will they go see an opera. And I think let me give you an example. Took a whole bunch of students this past year who had never been to an opera, not one of them, to see Carmen. And the bus was almost silent on the way back. They were just blown away the comments were, what I've missed all this time, if I had opportunity to have gone when I was, what did I miss? And I believe that if those of us who really love the opera, and I do, would do the same thing with musical theater.
Yeah. So this Midsummer Vocal Workshop is coming up really soon.
We start Monday night.
You start Monday. Are you still looking for people to come in?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Anybody who wants to come is more than welcome.
And what is the time commitment like?
Monday through Friday for the next 2 weeks. We'll start at 7 and end about 9:30. So it's 5 nights a week for 2 weeks. And then a performance on the 9th of August.
At 7:30 at Thunder Mountain.
Oh, great. Fabulous acoustics in there.
Right.
And please make sure people out and listening to us, if you like to sing, come. We don't sight read the concerts. You all have an opportunity to learn the music.
That's a big deal because I think people get daunted by, wow, that's just a lot.
But but we have new people every time, and for them it's and then they're hooked.
That's great. So if people want to sign up, how much is the fee?
The workshop is $100. We had to raise it this year because Broadway is expensive. It's far more expensive than classical music. That's interesting, I thought, you know, as I was working on all this. But it's $100 for the two-week workshop, plus you get one free ticket to the concert, which is, you don't have to use. You're in the concert, but you can give it to somebody. And we'll start Monday night at 7 at Holy Trinity. And so the first week is at Holy Trinity. The second week will be at Thunder Mountain. So everybody gets the chance to drive. But you can just come early on Monday night and register right then.
That sounds great. Is the information on the website?
It is.
Great. And what's that website?
JunoOpera.org.
Fabulous. Well, Byron, thank you so much. And Lena, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to see what
you
all work with over the 2 weeks. It'll be great.
It should be fun.
Come see us.
Will do. Thank you so much.
Loving you, it runs so deep. Upon the surface, here I sleep. Walking the dark and light. Walking all the day and night. Rivers fall, the ocean sigh. Fall for you here every time. Like a bead of a flower, a buzz. Does a flower question love? chest and open minds. Stand here in your midst, see it through the smoke and mist. Once again for you I fall, underneath the tree so tall. Upon the limbs a nest and dove, does a birdie question love?
And that was the Elephant Revival. You can check them out at the Southeast Alaska State Fair, and that's coming up just really soon. So definitely check that out. That's a great band. And coming up here next on KTOO Juno Afternoon, we have Writer's Almanac with Garrison Keillor.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 24th of July, 2014. It's the birthday of Alexandre Dumas, born in Villers, Carteret, France, 1802, who wrote swashbuckling adventure novels like The Three Musketeers, The Count of Monte Cristo, which were serialized in newspapers to generate new subscriptions. It's the birthday of John D. MacDonald, the mystery novelist, born Sharon, Pennsylvania, 1916, famous for his novels featuring Travis McGee, a beach bum detective, lives on a houseboat that he won in a poker game. It's the birthday of the poet, novelist Robert Graves, born Wimbledon, 1895. Robert Graves, who said, "Poetry is practical, a practical, humorous, reasonable way of being ourselves, of never acquiescing in a fraud, of never accepting the second rate in poetry, painting, music, love, friendships." It's the birthday of Amelia Earhart, born Atchison, Kansas, 1897. She became a pilot. She was the first person to fly from California to Hawaii. She was attractive. She was well-spoken, so the aviation industry used her as a symbol to reassure women that flying was safe, but unfortunately, on her second attempt to fly around the globe, she disappeared at the Central Pacific, somewhere near the international dateline. It's the birthday of Zelda Fitzgerald, born Zelda Sayre, Montgomery, Alabama, 1900. She met F. Scott Fitzgerald at a military dance when he was stationed in Montgomery. Zelda said he smelled like new goods, and they went on their first date on this day, her birthday, 1918. Years later, in a letter, she wrote, "The night you gave me my birthday party, You were a young lieutenant, and I was a fragrant phantom, and it was a radiant night, a night of soft conspiracy, and the trees agreed that it was all going to be for the best. And it was on this day, 1847, that Brigham Young led his Mormon people into the valley of the Great Salt Lake. He had gotten sick on the journey. He was being carried, lying prostrate in a wagon, but when they got to the edge of the mountain, the wagon stopped, and according to legend, Brigham Young was able to describe the scene below without looking, and then he sat up and looked and said, "This is the right place. Drive on." Here's a poem for today by Raymond Carver, "What the Doctor Said." He said, "It doesn't look good." He said, "It looks bad, in fact, real bad." He said, "I counted 32 of them on one lung before I quit counting them." I said, "I'm glad. I wouldn't want to know about any more being there than that." He said, "Are you a religious man? Do you kneel down in forest groves and let yourself ask for help? When you come to a waterfall, mist blowing against your face and arms, do you stop and ask for understanding at those moments?" I said, "Not yet, but I intend to start today." He said, "I'm real sorry." He said, "I wish I had some other kind of news to give you." I said, "Amen." And he said something else I didn't catch, and not knowing what else to do and not wanting him to have to repeat it and me to have to fully digest it, I just looked at him for a minute, and he looked back. It was then I jumped up and shook hands with this man who'd just given me something no one else on earth had ever given me. I may have even thanked him, habit being so strong. "What the Doctor Said" by Raymond Carver, from All of Us Collected Poems, published by Harville Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, you can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's poetry app. Available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
And you're tuned in to Juno Afternoon. It's Thursday, July 24th, and my name is Shona Strouther. Once again, I feel like I have the luckiest job in the world because in walks to the studio Seneca Harper with his Mod Carousel gang. Welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having us, Shona.
Yeah, sure. So, Seneca, you grew up here in fine Juno, and for those people who are like, "Mod Carousel, what are you talking about?" And which is pretty surprising that people would even still ask that question, but we still need to fill people in.
There's still a few of them out there. Mod Carousel is an interdisciplinary performance art collective that we started in 2010, so this is our fifth year bringing it to Juno. We are a burlesque group, so there's physical comedy and theater and storytelling, a lot of dance, and a little bit of striptease.
Oh, great. So there's a lot of you in the studio, which I love. So can we just go down the line? And maybe, Seneca, we can start with you, because you also have a name as part of Mod Carousel. It's not just Seneca.
I do. Yeah, as a performer, as a burlesque performer, my alias is the Luminous Pariah.
That's hot. Okay, great.
Hi, I'm Kayla Bailey. I am their guest this weekend up from Seattle, and I am a singer. My tagline is the Gutter Queen, and I sang with these guys on the Blurred Lines parody that we did. I am the lady. I am the lady of the Blurred Lines.
Nice.
I'm Paris Original, one of the founding members of Mod Carousel.
And I'm Trojan Original, the last one.
Nice. Well, welcome to the studio. So as far as Paris, you said one of the founding members, and I imagine that was with Seneca, from what I remember, yes?
Yeah.
So how were you founded, and what's been the evolution of this group?
Well, in 2009, the Luminous Pariah came to do a solo show he appeared in a belly dance show as the burlesque guest. And after that experience, it was so great that he was like, I really want to bring us all up here. Let's make a group and do a thing and make it happen. So that's kind of how it all started, just with that little idea. So you started with two founding members, and then now, but you joined on pretty soon too. It's Trojan, yes?
Yeah, so when they say founding members, it's because they had the idea, but it started as a trio group, and we've been performing as a trio group the whole time, and mm-hmm. I just didn't have much of a part in it. They were like, hey, we're doing this, and I was like, okay, let's go.
And along the way, you've seemed to pick up some fabulous guest artists, because I've seen, you know, a few different incarnations, or just people visiting in and dropping in, doing acts and singing and things like that. So, Seneca, how does that work for your group?
It's been really great. We run a really tight ship as a trio, and we know what needs to be done, we know when it needs to be done, and we know each other very well as performers as well. So when we bring in a fourth or sometimes even a fifth member to perform with us, they just kind of fit in seamlessly. And we look for people who really complement what we already do. And so far, we've been really lucky to have some fantastic performers willing and interested to come up here to Juno specifically. My goal is to create a really all-around fantastic show to present to this audience.
That's great. So you had a show this last weekend, and how'd it go?
Swimmingly well.
it was fantastic. We perform all over the world and in really big cities most of the time, and nothing makes us feel like rock stars more than performing for Juno.
You know what, Alaskans, sometimes we get a little bit starved for things new and unique and different and cool, you know. It's not that there's not a fabulous lots of cool people here, but we need constant energy coming in. Mm-hmm. So
and that's awesome for us, coming in.
Yeah. So the Blurred Lines parody, well, that hit huge. I mean, that was all over the Huffington Post and everywhere, all over the interwebs.
Mm-hmm. In days. I'd worked with Seneca, but I hadn't worked with these guys so much at that point. And we came in. I had just got done doing another show. It was almost this time last year that happened. And we were just calling each other every day going, oh, my God, it's on the Huffington Post. Oh, my God, it's on this. You know, it sort of happened so fast. We didn't even have time really to celebrate it at all.
we had one meeting maybe a week in after we had reached a million. And we're like, we all just sat down for the first time together since filming, being like, wow, so that happened.
This is crazy. Check this thing out that's happening to us right now.
And now it's at 5 million views, if you can believe it or not. What I didn't know is that the automatic settings for YouTube will send you an email whenever anyone shares or comments on your video. So the next morning when I woke up, I checked my email, and it was absolutely insane.
Because was it directly after you all had performed here last summer, right?
Yeah.
Because
I
remember you were just here. I was like, wow.
Yeah, right. I was the one who pioneered that project, and I was actually pitching it to the other guys in the troupe while we were here. We were in the car driving to the show and being like, so there's this crazy video that has a lot of controversy, and the female models just happen to look like us. Like, if we split the genders, I'm like, if we just get some singers, it's comedy gold.
Yeah.
That's great. So this upcoming show this weekend, can you tell us a little bit about it? Because last weekend was the best of Mod Carousel, and it was kind of a review of all the numbers that you've done. But this is totally something new this weekend.
Yeah, this show is entirely new to Juno. Unless you've been globetrotting with us, you won't have seen any of these acts. And that's kind of exciting for me. I'll be performing a new solo, and Paris and I are performing a new duet that's highly choreographed. And that's something that's very different for me. I'm usually more theatrical, but now I get to experiment more with heavy choreography, and it's a lot of fun. The show has a lot of flash and dazzle. What are you guys bringing to this show this weekend?
I'm bringing two more traditional classical burlesque numbers, so they're a little more striptease, a little less storytelling, but they're both flashy and sparkly and fantastic costumes, so yeah.
Great. What about you?
I'll be singing and getting wild because the stage ignites a fire in me that I just can't. I don't know. It just makes me go crazy. And especially great audiences like this, I'm like, oh, yeah, bring it on. So I'll be singing and dancing and just being the wild woman that I am.
Great. That's great.
And I'm bringing probably the sexiest act I have, and then a serious art piece.
Okay.
Well, it's all about balance, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, great. So tickets, can we get just kind of the details?
Yeah. So this show is called Mod Carousel Presents Glitterbox. It's at 7 p.m. and 10 p.m. at the Rockwell Ballroom upstairs. Tickets are available online at brownpapertickets.com. They're $15 in advance. 12 hours before the show, online ticket sales stop. They will be available at the door for $20.
That's awesome. Seneca and Mod Carousel Troupe, always such a pleasure. Juno looks forward to your visit every year. Believe me, they do. Talk about it all year long. Did you see those hot folks coming to town? Yeah. So thank you so much for joining us once again this year, and have some great shows.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. It's Thursday, July 24th. My name is Shona Strausser, and that was Elephant Revival there, playing a little bit. And they're playing at the Southeast Alaska State Fair. And on the phone with me, I have Bonnie Payne, actually, from Elephant Revival. Hey, Bonnie, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. So, such a beautiful song. You wrote that one, yes?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's great. That's great. So I've been doing a little bit of research on your band and listening to this, great album. Is this album that's just came out just recently? Is that true?
Yeah, pretty recently. Mm-hmm. We went up and recorded it outside of Seattle in a big barn, and just released it not too long ago.
Oh, that's great. It's called These Changing Skies. Yeah.
Yep, that's the one.
That's great. So I was wondering if you could, it's interesting because I've listened to some songs, I've listened to some things online, and I've read a few things, and people kind of put your music in so many different genres.
Yeah.
And it's fabulous. I was wondering if you could talk about the other players and your instrumentation.
Yeah, okay. So we have a stand-up bass player. And our violinist also plays an octave violin, so it's tuned an octave down from a normal fiddle. And an electric banjo with a bunch of pedals, and acoustic guitar, mandolin, and then I play the musical saw and the washboard with a stomp box and a cymbal and a djembe drum for my percussion setup. And we all sing.
Oh, you all sing. Great.
Uh-huh.
That's great.
Yeah.
Have you been up to Alaska before?
No, this is our first time. We're very, very excited.
That's great. The Southeast Alaska State Fair is just wonderful. It's a lot of fun. I think you'll really enjoy it. What day are you performing at the fair?
I think on Friday and Saturday is what I thought.
Well, you know what? We can challenge our listeners to check online. How about that?
That would be great. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So your band formed in 2006, is that correct?
Yeah. We've been together for 8 years in October.
Oh, that's great. And what can you talk a little bit about your process as songwriters?
Yeah. We mostly write individually, and then we bring it together. We'll come together, all five of us, and introduce the song, and then everybody gets to make up their own parts. Usually, there'll be a few kind of staple melodies or maybe a rhythm that you want to come through, or like that song, Remembering the Beginning, we were just listening to. That started with a cello line that I wrote, so I just asked the fiddler to accent that, and then everybody kind of built around that melody, but then, came up with their own stuff, which always makes it a lot more colorful. So, yeah, everybody in the band is really into improvising, so we try to allow a lot of artistic freedom when we do introduce the song. And we've co-written a little bit, me and the guitar player particularly. But for the most part, we write the songs individually, and then everybody gets to write their own parts once we introduce them.
Yeah, that's great. Your website says something really interesting, which I totally get, where words fail, music speaks. And it was an interesting kind of just checking through there. It seems like you all are activists as well as artists.
Yeah, it's... we love this planet, and we want to do whatever we can to help it stay healthier, become healthier, and being outdoors is a huge part of where we get all of our inspiration for the song, so it's where we find a lot of our joy and excitement for being alive, so we want to do what we can to give back in that way, and it's important to us. We're stewards of the earth.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I think you'll find a lot of inspiration up here. There's definitely the outdoors or something that fuel a lot of people's creative process up here, for sure.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I'll actually have a few days before and after, so I was going to maybe go camping I was going to ask around, so what is there to do around there? What do you like to do around there?
Yeah, camping is pretty much the thing to do. That's great. Well, super.
Yeah.
So you all are touring all the time, or what is your? Are you doing a summer tour, or how's it working for you?
Yeah, we pretty much tour constantly, and it's been great. It's been really easy this summer. We're spending most of our summer in Canada, and then doing folk festivals and. We'll be playing Hillside Folk Festival in Guelph this weekend, and then we'll fly from there into Alaska. And from there, we'll go to Edmonton, Canada. So, yeah, we're having a great time. We're going to pretty much be touring until November, I think, whenever we'll kind of take it easy and then come together in December to look at new material. But, yeah, pretty much it.
Great. So These Changing Skies, this album, is this something that people can actually get on iTunes, or they can get it online on your website, or what's the best way to get this album?
The website's one good way. That's just elephantrevival.com. And, iTunes and all that has it also. And I just got a message saying that we play on Friday at Seek Fair.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's been time.
Nice. Was that from a band member, or was that actually from someone in Haines?
Oh, no, I wish. I have yet to have friends there, but I look forward to that.
Yeah. We're pretty big, loving community, so we'll,
Yeah, that's what I hear. I'm so excited to meet all the people out there. It sounds so beautiful.
Yeah. So looking at your touring schedule and just looking at the bands you play with, you all have been all over the place, and you've played with jam bands, you've played with reggae bands, you've played all sorts of places. Is there something that, is it the style of your music, do you feel like it just kind of fits in a bunch of different places?
Yeah, that seems to be the case. It's always a hard answer whenever anybody asks what our sound is, which is always the first question if you find out you're in a band. But I feel like there's a lot of music right now that is doesn't really fit into any one type of music. So we all have really different influences in the band. So that, I guess, naturally would come together to make something a little different. So, yeah, Bridget was a fiddler, went and studied and taught in Scotland for a long time, so that was a big influence. And our guitar player grew up in the Northeast in Connecticut, where there's hip-hop bars and spoken poetry and African guitar playing, and those were a lot of his influences. And then I grew up out in the country in Oklahoma, where it's a lot of folk influences and bluegrass and rock and roll, and a lot of rock and roll. Me and my sisters were a backup band for a rock and roll artist out there. And then Dango grew up in Chicago, where there's the old town school, the old school of folk music, or something. Old town school of folk music. And that inspired him a lot. And then Sage grew up way out in the middle of nowhere outside of Kansas and Oklahoma, too. So, all pretty different.
Yeah, so all converging together, and you don't really have to land in one place, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, I prefer not to. I feel like people tend to find a category that they can put something, they won't look deeper into it. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, and this goes in that package, and now I'll move on to where this next thing can go into this package. And there's nothing really in life really can be put into any of those packages. It's just ways we try to kind of make sense of things. And so I feel like the longer you can prolong somebody from pigeonholing who you are or what your music is, it seems like it benefits their ear, or helps them listen a little deeper.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm talking to Bonnie Payne of Elephant Revival, and Elephant Revival is playing the Southeast Alaska State Fair in Haines coming up here shortly. Bonnie, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for taking the time on tour to talk to us.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'll see you soon.
Yeah, and here's another cut from These Changing Skies. Thank you.
they stole their turning tables, reciting poems. They speak what comes of hearts and tongues. Hearts and tongues. Hearts and tongues. These hearts, these dreams, these ways we weave. These hearts, these dreams, these webs we weave. These hearts, these dreams, these webs we weave. These hearts, these dreams, these webs we weave.
And that's Elephant Revival. You can check them out at the Southeast Alaska State Fair coming up here shortly. They're going to be a lot of fun. And in the studio with me now, I have Sue Douglas. She's the chairman of the board of the Senior Citizen Support Services, Inc., and Margaret O'Neill from the Juneau Economic Development Council. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So there's you have a lot of things happening right now in support of senior citizens. And, Sue, I was hoping that you could start us off with what's going on.
Okay. Well, many of your listeners will remember that more than a year ago, we started a really lively conversation in the community about how are we going to care for our seniors. And particularly, we're interested in the fact that Juneau, Alaska, has no assisted living for our seniors. And the senior population is growing all across the nation, especially in Juneau and especially in Alaska. We have the highest rate of aging persons in the nation, the state of Alaska does. And Juneau is the second highest community in the state with an increasing, rapidly growing aging community. So our concern is, how are these people going to age comfortably? How are we going to keep these wonderful people here? So we've been talking for a year and worked very hard. We first started out with a task force. That task force has now become part of Senior Citizen Support Services, Inc., which is a nonprofit that many people will remember was responsible for building Fireweed Place, independent living housing downtown here. And so now that we're more a formal entity, you could say, we are proceeding and we are determined that in a variety of ways, with support from the community, support from others, we are going to eventually achieve our goal to bring assisted living and hopefully more independent housing for our seniors so they don't have to go outside.
It's interesting, and I'm hoping that you could clarify the difference. So a place like Fireweed is actually not assisted, is that correct?
It is not assisted. It's independent apartments that people live in independently. I will honestly tell you that several people there would probably be more comfortable and more safe, and it would be more pleasant for them to be where they could get more assistance. And of course it's 99% full. The Pioneer Home is licensed to be an assisted living facility. It has 48 beds, but it's primarily a place for people who have memory challenges, dementia, Alzheimer's, not all of them, but a lot of them, of the people who reside there. So, the waiting list at the Pioneer Home right now, the active waiting list is around 110 people. The inactive waiting list is about 1,300. There isn't any anticipation of increasing the beds there. We need to do something else, and that's what we're working on. And assisted living is not full nursing. We have Wildflower Court here, which is a nursing home. So those are the three levels that are the common levels in the continuum of care that people talk about.
Thank you for that clarification, because I think a lot of people actually don't know that.
Yeah.
So, Margaret, I was wondering...
We were having this about 6 months ago. We were working with the Assisted Living Task Force, and Sue raised some money from the CBJ, and the Senior Citizen Support Services Group has put together some funding and also matched that with Alaska Mental Health Trust. And JDC...
offered to put together an RFP with the group and actually do the contracting, select a contractor to do a demand study. This is not a needs analysis, but an actual study of what people in Juneau want and what they would buy and what they can afford to buy and what types of characteristics. And part of that project, it's about three quarters of the way through. The report will be done at the end of September. And part of that is this public workshop that is happening next Tuesday at Centennial Hall at 6 p.m. And we're inviting all the people in the community who are interested, whether they're seniors, whether they have seniors in their families, whether they're looking at retiring, looking at figuring out what they can afford here versus elsewhere, to come and be part of the conversation about what are the highest priorities for the folks that actually live here in Juneau. And JADC has been involved in housing issues for six, maybe more than that. We've supported the Affordable Housing Commission. We support the Homeless Coalition. We've been involved in working on trying to encourage property owners downtown to rehab some of the old housing stock that's been taken out of business. We've done the housing needs assessment for Juneau. I worked on the last go-round of that. And I'm on the Affordable Housing Commission, which is also very concerned about the needs of senior housing. And the senior housing issue for assisted living, it sort of exists in this continuum of overall lack of supply and aging housing stock and unaffordable housing stock that it's across the whole continuum of our community. So it's really an important issue and one that gets a lot of attention.
Sue, I was hoping you could give us the details of that event one more time, just the time and the place.
You bet. I'd be glad to. It's next Tuesday night. It's a free public workshop. It's at Centennial Hall from 6 to 9 p.m. There will be facilitators there to help people really lively participate. The consultants who are doing the market demand study will be there and will share a lot of data. There'll be a member of the Alaska Mental Health Trust there to talk about some of the issues. It's just going to be very informative, but it's also going to be as interactive as possible, because everybody who comes will be very useful to helping us complete this study. We really want to hear from the Juneau public.
Sue and Margaret, thank you so much for talking to us about addressing the needs of seniors in this community. It's such an important topic for us here.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for tuning in to Juneau Afternoon. It's Thursday, July 24th. My name is Shona Strausser. And last but not least, Rachel Usler in the studio talking Arts Up.
Yes, Arts Up, with two pages that we're going to try to finish in 2 minutes, right?
You know, that's how we roll. That's how we roll here.
So we do have lots of other ongoing things going on, like the star performances. I'm sure you've been talking about Summerfest that's been going on, different places. But one thing that we would want to talk about is Food Truck Friday. We're still doing those until the mid-August. But tomorrow we're going to do an extra special event and actually have a beer garden at our Food Truck Friday.
What?
Outside. I will have lots of tents because I can guarantee rain, but I can also guarantee that we're going to have Specialty Imports is bringing in some Baranoff Brewing, and Alaskan Brewing is going to be showing up there too. And so that will just be during Food Truck Fridays from 4 to 7 outside. And then at the same time, we're going to be having the music inside like we do every week. And this week has a really nice lineup, actually. We have 5:30 is going to be Sean McColl Band. That will be over there. We just had a new person that came in as of this morning. It's Sabe Flores, who is a celloist, and I think she's actually going to be talking to you on the radio tomorrow at 3:30, I guess.
Indeed.
And she also has a film, Jump Film Festival on YouTube and things like that. So that sounds really exciting and getting things up. And then we'll finish off the music with Cluttered Rooms. And that will all be their folk rock.
Oh, like Cluttered Rooms.
Yes, Cluttered Rooms, you know, like my life. And they will be all inside on the Summerfest stage, and then they'll be piped outside also. And then we have all of our normal vendors and then our food trucks that have been showing up. We've got usually about 4 to 5 different food vendors that have been coming in every week. So it's really starting to turn around, and if only the weather would cooperate with us. It gets to be really great turnout in those days, but sometimes it doesn't. So I've got lots of tents.
And beer.
And beer.
Music. And food.
And food.
Done.
Yes, and that's what they were saying, where the music is free and the food is worth paying for.
Excellent. That's horrible and funny. Rachel, such a pleasure, and I am horribly short today, and I apologize for that, but where can this calendar of all the events that are taking place in Juneau?
Of course. It's the normal community calendar that can always be found at www.jahc.org, or you can even go to the K2 website, and there is a connection to that. It just says community calendar. And it will hook you all to the same calendar because we like to try to be all on the same page.
Oh, I love that about us. Thank you so much, Rachel. Arts up. Short arts. But check out tomorrow, Food Truck Fridays with beer.
Thank you, Shoda.
Thank you. Thanks for tuning in to Juno Afternoon today. This is KTOO Juno. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juno and Douglas. We're also online at KTOO.org. Make sure you tune in tomorrow at 3 p.m. Friday, July 25th for a fabulous another version episode of Juno Afternoon.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. At least 15 people in Gaza are dead after a UN school being used as a shelter came under fire today. It's still not clear who fired the weapons that hit the school. Hamas militants and the Israeli military are blaming each other. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon says he's shocked by the shelling. As NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports, he's calling on both sides to abide by humanitarian law.
The UN Secretary General calls the situation in Gaza intolerable and says he and Secretary of State John Kerry have been pushing hard for a ceasefire. Ban had stern words for both Israelis and Hamas militants.
This is wrong. Why are you continuing to kill people? There are many other ways to resolve this issue without killing each other. I'm angry about what this is doing, what they are doing.
Ban met for a third time this week with Secretary Kerry, who says the tragic incident at the UN school underscores the need to reach a ceasefire soon and begin talks over the future of Gaza. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Cairo.
House Republicans are a step closer to advancing legislation that authorizes a lawsuit against President Obama. The House Rules Committee has cleared the way for the full House to vote on the bill. As NPR's Craig Windham reports, it was approved on a straight party line vote.
Committee.